I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Now the World Cup begins to get interesting. The theatrics of group play provided many close calls and surprises, like Mexico shocking defending champion Germany 1-0, Argentina being stretched to the limit, and Iceland getting a brief chance on the sport's biggest stage. Now the World Cup knockout games are being set. Host nation Russia enjoys every contest on home turf, and that advantage has sent the Russians to the round of 16 out of Group A behind Uruguay, a two-time champion including the very first World Cup in 1930. 2010 winner Spain, along with neighbor Portugal, are out of Group B. 1998 champion France won Group C and was joined in the next round by Denmark. Sweden and Mexico emerged from Group F, with defending champion Germany left behind. Brazil and Switzerland cruise through Group E. Then there is perennial threat Croatia from Group D, with Argentina, a two-time World Cup winner and runner-up in the last tournament. The 100th goal of the tournament went to Lionel Messi in a 2-1 victory over Nigeria, his first at this World Cup, and earns him the distinction of the first player to score a World Cup goal as a teenager in his 20s and in his 30s. Along with Russia, the other big venue with a gathering of nations is in New York, where World Cup fever is very evident at the United Nations. There you'll find ambassadors and staffers closely watching monitors and celebrating the link between peace and sport. At the start of the tournament, envoys from most of the 32 qualifying teams donned their national jerseys for a group photo. Russia's UN envoy noted how football is a uniting force in the world.
We turned, I think, the whole UN into a big fan zone, and we'll have something better to do this month. I earnestly hope that it will be a peaceful month for us to enjoy both peace and football.
And while you might think it's all fun and games, and the diplomats have hit the pause button on the search for world peace, that's not quite the case. As the recent Olympic Games in South Korea demonstrated, the fellowship of sport can spark opportunities for dialogue, as the UN ambassador from South Korea notes.
Well, as you know, Pyeongchang Winter Olympics in February served as a wonderful opportunity to build peace in the Korean Peninsula, and also indicate how important a role sports can play in building peace. So I hope the World Cup in Russia could also serve as an opportunity.
Mexico's ambassador says the United Nations and football actually have similar missions.
We share the same spirit. In the UN, we are trying to work together to improve things globally. And the World Cup is an expression of that too. Less only 36 countries participating, but sharing exactly the same global spirit, the same sense of global community, and trying to work together.
Football's unifying spirit is definitely seen among UN members, even in the often divided UN Security Council. The 15 members came together in their national jerseys, even those countries whose teams did not qualify for this year's tournament in Russia. Are you one of those who thinks golf is a boring sport? Perhaps you should check out what happened near Cologne, Germany at the BMW International Open. Six players were all tied for the lead as night fell after three rounds. But before they had a chance to hit their first shot of the final round Sunday, they found themselves all four shots behind.
I think we had a little battle, but a nice battle. We were having fun.
Thorbjørn Olesen of Denmark, seemingly out of contention and with one of the first tee times, ripped a course record 61.
As the round progressed, you know, I was keep on thinking birdies and trying to make the round better. And finishing with four birdies was pretty nice.
Five of his nine birdies came in the last six holes. Someone was going to have to play well to beat his 9-under par 279 total, and Matt Wallace of England did, by just one shot.
I thought he was going to go to a playoff, personally, so I was ready for that, but absolutely chuffed to have got it done.
Wallace says several aspects of his game have been improving.
I kind of knew something was trending in the right direction. I was playing great, and my own play hasn't been the best normally, and this week has been great.
His last challenge after a tiring effort was to lift his prize.
This trophy is quite heavy, so it's kind of kicking in. Brilliant to win here in Germany, BMW. Such a great event to play against the likes of Martin Keimer and the guys at the top there. It's a great field. So, and special mention to Thorbjørn for his round today. 61's fantastic. I think he finished before the leaders went out, so that's quite special.
Sharing second place with Olesen was Mikko Korhonen of Finland.
Great day, especially the back nine. I was able to birdie a couple of holes in the end coming in, and had a long chance on the 18th for tie the lead, but the second shot wasn't good enough.
And German Martin Keimer, who was happy to see all the local fans.
Having so many people here is so nice for the sport in Germany, and the commitment to support that event. And it was a very, very enjoyable weekend.
Abu Dhabi was the first time I'd done it, come back to the tournament as defending champion. So this year, so far I've not been here long, but very cool coming back, always seeing your pictures up and knowing that you've held that trophy is very, very cool.
English golfer Tommy Fleetwood returns to the HNA Open de France as defending champion, but things are not the same.
It's slightly different. Like, the first tee shot looks so different, with things just cut away a little bit, and it's definitely playing different to last year, playing a lot more a little bit firmer off the tee. Greens aren't too firm at the moment, but definitely a bit more of a summery look to it.
Fleetwood missed the US Open mid-tournament cut by just one shot, then had to travel back to Europe as he manages a tight playing schedule.
It's a busy period. You just got to plan your schedule well, or rest well and do the right things to recover, eat well. But we know it's going to be busy, and there's such big events coming up, and you've got to trust yourself. If you're going to miss any of them, you've just got to be able to take that and trust yourself to play well when you do play.
I wasn't thinking about winning. I was thinking about just playing golf and trying to move up the leaderboard.
American Bubba Watson did move up the leaderboard at the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut, from six shots behind to first place. And he found an ally in approaching bad weather, as he knew the field behind him would have a tougher time.
You know, with the weather signs going up, I could see that the weather was going to come in. The wind started picking up. Knew it was going to be hard to make birdies. So I figured if there's a way I could get one more. And that's what I did.
With 12 career PGA Tour victories, including two Masters titles, Watson is thrilled.
It's a thrilling time. My whole dream was to get 10 wins. If somehow I could get 10 wins, I didn't even think it was possible to get 10 wins. Then I got 10 wins, and now I've got two more.
That has him motivated for bigger achievements.
You know, I know it's a couple years away, but I would love to have a chance to make the Olympic team again. Yeah, that motivation is I've never won a Ryder Cup, so making the Ryder Cup team, trying to win a Ryder Cup as a player, would be another tournament victory to me.
Along with Bubba Watson on the course is a crop of newcomers, some who will take their place among the top players in a few years. The Travelers Championship has become a perfect venue for young players thanks to something called a sponsor exemption. We learn more with contributor George McNeely.
While fans in the large galleries are watching through their favorite media platform tend to focus on big-name PGA Tour players each week, many also enjoy learning about the up-and-comers. To learn more about what goes into these tournament invitations, commonly known as sponsor exemptions, we're delighted to be joined by Travelers Championship Tournament Director Nathan Grube.
There's so many top players that want to turn pro. Either they've gotten into the U.S. Open because on their amateur status and they want to play the Open and they want to turn right after, or they want to play the NCAAs and then they want to start their PGA Tour career right away. So we actually are kind of in that spot on the calendar where a lot of young guys want to start their career, and then we just had a good history of it. Hunter Mahan played here when he was 16, you know, or 17. I think he was a teenager. And Charles Howell turned pro here, and then, you know, David Duval, I think, was one of the guys that started out here. Stuart Sink, I think. So we just tried to take that and really propel that and just go out and find guys, and, you know, guys like Patrick Cantlay and Webb Simpson and Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas and John Rahm, and building relationships with those guys early in their career. Those exemptions are very, very valuable, and we're very careful with them because it's, you're making an investment in potentially your future.
Travelers Championship Tournament Director Nathan Grube. I guess it's as much an art as a science, and that kid you give an exemption to could end up being the reigning FedEx Cup champion, the reigning PGA Championship winner. And this week, Justin Thomas was nominated as Best Male Golfer for an ESPY Award for VOA Sports. George McNeely, Cromwell, Connecticut.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.